We are now going to discuss the third gender consultation. And who's going to lead the... Ashat, are you going to tee it up?
Yes, that's right, Hans. Okay. All right, thank you. And hello, everyone. So we're now going on to agenda paper two, which, as Hans said, is all about the board's third agenda consultation. So the purpose of our session with you today is really to get your feedback or initial feedback on the three objectives that the agenda consultation covers. So the first objective is to determine the strategic direction and balance of the board's activities. The second objective is the criteria that the board will be using to assess the priority of new financial reporting issues to add to the work plan. And the third is to determine exactly which new financial reporting issues are a priority. Hopefully you've all had a chance to look at the paper in advance. So what I'm not going to do is go through this the paper slide by slide. So I'll do a brief introduction of each one of the three areas of the consultation that we're looking to get your feedback on, and then turn over the floor to you for your input at various points. So we'll be taking each objective in turn. But before we sort of get into the three parts, I just wanted to flag the content that's on slide 7 of the agenda paper. And so that's about the distinction between the board's agenda consultation and the trustees' review. I think this is one that we've covered in our last ASEF meeting in March, but it's worth flagging again just to sort of set the scene for the context of your feedback today. I think you'll all be familiar that the trustees review, that's really looking at the potential expansion of the role of the foundation specifically into sustainability reporting. Whereas in contrast, our focus today and really the board's agenda consultation is about the board's work and the current scope of its activities. And we've described the current scope of the board's activities as financial statements and management commentary for profit-oriented companies. Now, we've acknowledged that there may be a need for interaction between the IASB work and, you know, any potential new sustainability standards board. And that means that some of the board's resources, the IASB's resources, that is, may have to go into that interaction. But at this stage, and really at the stage of also drafting the request for information, we don't really know what the direction will go in as of yet. But you would have seen on the slides that the timelines are such that by the time the IASB will come to make decisions about the 5-year work plan, which is really our expectation of that is in Q2 2022, the trustees would have advanced even more further in the decision-making process. And so that means that we will be able to factor in any potential interconnectedness and the need for capacity in working with any new sustainability board into the IASB's thinking about its work plan. But it's not something we can sort of say definitively at this stage, really. So just to sort of mention that, you know, that's definitely on our radar, and just to sort of have that as a bit of context. So I think with that, we'll sort of start with the first objective of the agenda consultation, which is on the strategic direction and balance of the board's activities. Now, the content relevant in this discussion are covered in slides 9 to 25. Of the slide deck, but I'll perhaps use slides 10 and 11 to provide some bit of context before I turn it over to you. So on slide 10, you'll see that we have categorized the board's work into 6 main activities. So that's new IFRS standards and major amendments to IFRS standards. Second is maintenance and consistent application, the IFRS for SME standard, digital financial reporting, stakeholder engagement, and then finally, understandability and accessibility. And for each activity, the request for information also provides explanations of what the board currently does and then examples of what more the board could do. So I won't touch on all of the activities as I'll assume the slides as read, but I just wanted to make a couple of key highlights in particular for two activities that might perhaps be less familiar to most people. The first one is digital financial reporting. So I'm sure everyone's aware digital consumption of information, yes, has been increasing. And so the importance of digital financial reporting has been growing even more than ever. And historically, from the board's perspective, we've primarily focused on facilitating digital consumption of information by developing and maintaining the IFRS taxonomy. That's very much within our control. But we've deliberately titled this activity area as digital financial reporting, because the question we're looking to pose as part of this agenda consultation is whether we continue with the level of focus on the taxonomy or we do more as part of this broader digital financial reporting ecosystem. And that more could sort of take different shapes. And, you know, some examples just might be, in case it's helpful for the discussion, is, you know, we could be looking to redesign the taxonomy to better meet user needs. So, you know, doing things that make it easier to search for information in an even more intuitive way. Another example is, you know, a lot more expansive than what I've just mentioned, is shifting to a technology neutral approach to, or shifting from a technology neutral approach to developing presentation and disclosure requirements to an approach that is digital first. And, you know, the practical consequence of a digital first approach is, you know, could, for example, show itself in terms of requiring even more granular information in the standards, because development in technology may mean that, you know, we're able to process lots of data in even more efficient way. The example is identifying potentially partners in the broader digital ecosystem and influencing other things that are not currently in the board's control. So things like adoption of the taxonomy, how can we get to a more consistent adoption and regulation of the taxonomy, as well as identifying partners that own the audit, data quality, accessibility of digital reports, so that we can work jointly to create digital financial markets where high quality, comparable electronic data is easily accessible by all users of financial statements. So with digital reporting, just wanted to mention there are some opportunities that could even go further than what we currently do. You know, those additional work presents some challenges as well. And so what's useful for us to really understand is what role you think the board should be playing in digital financial reporting space, and what that should look like relative to the taxonomy today. Another activity that I'll mention very briefly is understandability and accessibility, again, because it might just be perhaps lesser known than the other ones. And the work primarily here with understandability and accessibility, it's primarily about helping you, what we call users of the standards. So that's companies, auditors, regulators, and national standard setters, just like yourself, you know, helping those users better understand the requirements so that they can improve the information that's provided to investors. So with regards to understandability, just to give a bit of context, our work today is primarily focused on two things, really. So reducing unnecessary technical complexity and cost, while at the same time improving quality of information. And then also working to develop clear standards, for example, through our editorial translation teams, external reviewers, and the likes. One example, just to sort of maybe keep in mind with understandability and accessibility, is, you know, we could be looking to take a comprehensive look at all the different areas of unnecessary complexity in IFRS standards, and then, you know, come up with ways to amend existing requirements to address those issues. So just to point that out with understandability. Accessibility is a bit different. That's more about helping stakeholders find the relevant literature. So what that looks like today is really, you know, our work to publish the annotated IFRS standards, for example. And you know, for example, all the work that's gone into improve our website for navigability improvement. In terms of more we could be doing on accessibility, I mean, that's using technology and other tools even further to help stakeholders tailor their needs to this the standards to their needs. Finally, on the activities, I just wanted to mention briefly with respect to the top pie slice on slide 10, which is on new IFRS standards and major amendments to IFRS standards. You know, here, of course, we're talking about the board's research and standard setting projects, but it's also important to point out that this pie slice also includes the required post-implementation reviews. So later on in the discussion, we'll come to talk about the new projects that you think we should prioritize and add to the work plan. But for purposes of this first objective, we're really focusing on the direction of travel with this activity in relative to the other activities. So really, to help stakeholders answer the questions that we have on the activities, what you see on slide 11 are additional contextual information. So the first one, as you can see at the top of the slide, is essentially information about the estimated current level of focus. And then the second thing we've talked about is capacity. And really, the board's view is that our capacity, and even also in stakeholders' capacity, is limited. So what we've assumed is that the overall level of resources that will be available to the board will remain substantially unchanged between 2022 to 2026. And so that means the board will need to prioritize and make trade-offs. And I mentioned this because, you know, where, you know, you stakeholders might be recommending increasing the level of focus in any one or more activity areas, it would also be very helpful to know which other activities you think we should focus less on as a result. So, I mean, I think that brings us then to slide 25, which are the specific questions that we have for you on this first objective. The questions are twofold. So firstly, for each of the six main activities that are on the slide, should the board increase, decrease, or leave unchanged its current level of focus? And then secondly, should the board be looking to undertake any other activities that will fall within the current scope of the board's work, as I mentioned earlier? So with that, I'll, you know, turn it over to you guys.
Thank you, Aishat. The floor is open for questions or suggestions. Kiara?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Hans. Well, in terms of the overall balance, yes, we broadly agree with the current level of activity on the different chapters. Perhaps we suggest in our draft comment letter to increase the efforts on digital reporting, but we also suggest to consider creating a new chapter, which is connectivity between financial reporting and sustainability reporting as a separate area of activity, because we think that also the financial reporting standard setter has a role to facilitate the creation of connectivity with the sustainability information. As for the criteria to identify projects, we had already in other previous occasions I suggested to first continue working on the current projects, the major projects that are still to be completed, and also to focus on the timely post-implementation review of the various standards, so 9, 15, 16, but also 17 toward the end of the planning horizon. We also consider that in addition to the results to be involved, the ISB should primarily rely on the relevance and the urgency of the projects, and also to set aside the capacity to react to emerging and unforeseen issues. We have seen the IBOR issue or the COVID-related issues on this cycle, so we would recommend to set aside some capacity. And that's all for page 25.
Thank you, Chiara. Da.
Thank you, Hans. I'd like to just give some perspective on where we are in our outreach, because these are quite preliminary comments. In June, we were able to speak to our Academic Advisory Council, our IFRS discussion group, and we had one virtual roundtable. We have several planned. The good news is we had ISB folks attending those sessions, so they were able to hear those comments firsthand. July is a very busy month for us in terms of outreach on this project. In particular, we're convening a user panel where we have three user members on our board currently, plus Nick Anderson will be joining us to discuss with both buy side and sell side analysts, the priorities. We're talking to our securities regulators in July. There are crown corporations in Canada that must apply IFRS, so we're talking to them in July. We're talking to our own user advisory committee in July, and we hope to speak with the big banks as well in July. So a lot of our outreach is yet to come, just to give context to the comments. In terms of the strategic direction and balance, like every other standard setter, we understand that there are constraints. There are constraints for the standard setter, both from a board and a staff perspective, but also the stakeholders that you need to interact with. Right now in particular, we're finding constraints in interacting with our stakeholders, and so we acknowledge those. And we also acknowledge that you don't want to stop and start projects because it raises inefficiency. And we understand that. But that said, one of the things that we have learned over the last 15 to 18 months is that very quickly projects that we thought were very important had to be set aside because there were things that were more important during the pandemic. And so we just need to acknowledge that there may be times when you have to continually update your view of the relevance of a project. And so we would encourage you to do that. In many cases, we had to defer projects so that we could assist our stakeholders with specific COVID-19 pandemic issues, maybe just pointing them to current guidance, but that did take staff and board capacity, and so we would encourage you to keep that in mind. We also agree with what's already been said about the time and effort that may be required for the ISB and staff to deal with a new board, the new sustainability board, and the interaction between financial and non-financial reporting. In our minds, we cannot do this in silos. If we are going to be effective and relevant to our stakeholders, we must work together. And we believe that this will take some capacity from the ISB and its staff as well. So we would reiterate the comments already made by Chiara. The one thing that we did this year as we were doing our plan is we actually set aside 20% of our capacity from a board and staff perspective to deal with either the interconnectedness with a potential new board on sustainability, but also with emerging issues. And we would encourage you to do the same thing. Thank you.
Okay, Pauline.
Thank you, Hans. Just to set out where we are at this stage, we have actually started quite a lot of outreach. We've had a lot of informal outreach with our stakeholders. So we're beginning to get a feel for where the UK is coming from. But we do have a formal outreach event set up for July, which the ISB is going to do in collaboration with us. So you'll hear directly from the UK stakeholder group at that point. And we hope to put our letter out for consultation consultation in at the end of July, so we'll be able to get feedback on that more formally. So this is still very much a preliminary stage for us at the moment. Just on the criteria, we think largely the criteria are pretty well balanced and wouldn't make any fundamental changes. Possibly we would look to see a little bit more resource being put into the digital side of things, because that's clearly an issue that's becoming much more important, and people are rapidly moving to digital financial reporting. The more effort that the ISB is putting into that, the better. And if we were going to deprioritize something in order to give that time, from a UK perspective, that would probably be IFRS for SMEs, but I appreciate that's a very UK perspective on things. Looking at the criteria you do have, I would echo the comments that have been made previously about the need to set resource aside to ensure that there's proper interaction with the ISSB. It's always easy to underestimate the amount of time that's taken up by coordinating efforts between different bodies, and I think that's a really important focus. So I think that's something that we'll be thinking about, and I would encourage you to think about as well. And similarly, I think in terms of the area of new IFRS standards, it may be worth thinking about putting a little bit more resource into the area of research, possibly in conjunction with the national standard setters, as I'm sure, like ourselves, we all have detailed research capabilities. And I think that would help identify some of the issues that are coming through, particularly urgent emerging issues, to make sure that you can prioritise time to deal with those, as you did so effectively during the recent COVID period. But I think that's all I wanted to say on this particular aspect at the moment.
Thank you, Pauline. Noble.
Yes, thank you, Hans. Regarding slide 25, we have 2 points. Our first point is very similar to what Pauline just mentioned. Our preliminary view is that the ISB should allocate a certain amount of resources to long-term research projects. In our view, the ISB is currently placing too much emphasis on criterion number 6, which will be discussed later, the complexity and feasibility of the potential project and its solutions, which makes it difficult for the ISB to undertake projects that don't have immediate solutions. We suggest that the weighting of the criteria should be different based on whether the project is a standard-setting project or a research project. In our view, potential candidates for the long-term research would include a review of IS 38 intangibles and IS 19 employee benefits. Second point relates to the relationship with the new sustainability board, and while we support the initiatives of the IFRS Foundation, we believe that the ISB should continue to secure sufficient resources for the development of IFRS standards. Accordingly, if the ISB were to provide resources to assist the new sustainability board or to put aside some resources for the interconnectivity, we suggest that the ISB increase its total resources so that the resources for the development of IFR standards will not be reduced. Thank you.
Thank you, Nobu. Xiaoqing Yi?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And can you hear me?
Yes, perfect.
Okay. And based on the preliminary staff views from USS members and China as the working group leader, we summarize the comments from the USS members. And for the six main activities of the board, some USS members' preliminary view is that ISB should increase its level of focus on the maintenance and the consistent application of IFR standards while decreasing the level of focus on development of new IFR standards and a major amendment to IFR standards. And some complicated and challenging standards applied in recent years and the increased focus on maintenance and application. And maybe providing more educational materials would help to address, prepare the concerns and reduce diversity in practice. And furthermore, some USS members also think it is important to increase the focus on understanding of the standards. But there are still some USS members who think current focus on development of new IFR standards and the major amendment to IFR standards is appropriate and should remain unchanged. And thank you.
Thank you very much, Yi. Patrick. Patrick de Gambourg. Are you there? I don't see him right now.
Might have just come back in. Patrick, yeah, are you there?
It doesn't seem to be. He will come back in. Jim?
Yes, thank you, Hans. Overall, the allocation seemed very reasonable. Maybe just a couple thoughts. One, perhaps being very clear where the buffer would come from for any unexpected projects, you know, in the past, LIBOR or effects of COVID, just which section that would come from. Presumably, maybe that would be maintenance. But that it's anticipated in the overall allocation of time. Any other area where I thought if this was us, where would we do it? It ends up with an amount greater than 100%. So that's not a great answer. Anytime I thought, well, 50% here, and then you add the number, it's significantly greater than 100. One additional thought, and I think Nobu had something similar as it related to the interconnectedness of sustainability and financial reporting, whether if the board were to take on any additional significant new activities, I think the plan presumes a fixed rate of resources, but whether that should really be accompanied by an investment in additional resources, and one that comes to mind is digital financial reporting. If the vision is really maintain the system and kind of keep going at the current pace, that probably seems right. If it's really envisioning a paradigm shift, I think it would reasonably come with an additional investment and resources to then facilitate that additional time.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Patrick, you're back in?
Yeah, apologies. On this question of slide 25, first of all, we are still under discussion with French stakeholders. However, we can share a couple of remarks. The first of all is that connectivity between financial reporting and sustainability reporting, as already highlighted by some, for us is a key element and should maybe be a separate area. because at the end of the day, if the idea is, if we assume that corporate reporting will be walking on two legs, one being the financial reporting one, pretty mature, and the other one being the sustainability reporting one, we need to make sure that there is coherence and full continuity between the two legs and both ways, by the way. So we are of the opinion, and here I refer to the report that the task force that I shared at EU level has done, and we put the emphasis emphasis on this point. There is a need for connectivity both ways via anchor points. So there is a need for proactive relationship between the standard setting on the sustainability reporting side and financial reporting, because you know there might be gray areas and or overlaps, and by the way, this is not good. So we absolutely need to create continuity, and that, in my view, this is a task for the financial reporting standard setter in relation with the sustainability reporting standard setters. So I would insist on this, and as a key point and as a separate area. The other point, of course, that has been mentioned is digital approach. I would like to go back on this one, because digitization is key, and sometimes we have the feeling that we spend a lot of time on words, but a little time on how it is going to be translated in a digital environment. And I have the feeling, and there is evidence, academic evidence on that, that to a certain extent, when you get to a granular definition of financial information in order to allow for digitization, then somehow you are standard setting. You certainly are standard setting, because you restrict somehow or you predefine the digital version of your financial statements. So I think a significant emphasis should be put on this one, with the caveat, which you know, it's always the same story. Is it the tail that is moving the dog, or the dog that is moving the tail? You know, digitization is a little bit like that. And extensions, which are the number, evidence shows that the number of extensions under in the IFRS world is higher than under the US GAAP world. So we have to be mindful of that, because that probably is derived from rules versus principles, maybe to a certain extent, but there is also the key issue of digitization underneath. So that's what I wanted to say. As a consequence, maybe on slide 32, when you consider three major new standard setting projects, and given the idea of a stable platform, maybe two would be a better solution in order to allow for space for connectivity and additional engagement with the digital element of the standard setting. Thank you, Hans.
Thank you, Patrick. Yu Chen.
Okay. Thank you, Hans. I would like to share what's happening in China for the request for information. Recently, we translated the request for information, translated it into Chinese, and it has been published in China. We are still in the process of seeking feedbacks from Chinese stakeholders. Here, I would like to share some preliminary views on the regarding the question on page 25. Generally speaking, we believe that the six main activities on page 10 are reasonable and appropriate. At the same time, we have two suggestions. We suggest to the board allocate more resources on the activity of maintenance and consistent application of IFRS, as well as improving the understandability and accessibility of the standards. The reason is, since the new big IFRS standards, such as financial instrument revenue leases and insurance contracts, have been finished and published, we think the demand for development of new IFRS or major amendment to current IFRS is relatively limited. At the same time, these new standards on financial instrument revenue have widespread and have great impact on entities' accounting practice, and even have great impact on entities' operation. So we think the how to promote the effective implementation of these new big standards is an important issue we are facing. So we suggest to the board to allocate more resources on maintenance and consistent application of IFRS. The second reason is regarding the improving the understandability and the accessibility of the standards. We suggest to the board allocate more resources by issuing more guidance or illustrative examples to enhance the understandability of these standards. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Yuchen. EH?
Yes, Hans. Similar to China, we are looking at understandability, accessibility. Well, I like this suggested balance of activities on an average, but particularly I like this item, understandability and accessibility, which is very important for non-English speaking countries with a little bit different cultural background. And we hear a lot of complaints from stakeholders in our jurisdictions about the difficulties in reading and understanding the text of accounting standard, IFRS standard. So if it is possible, we suggest that ISB allocate more resources to this understandability and accessibility, if possible. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, EH. And I would like to staff to continue. I have to leave for 5 minutes. I'll be right back. Sue, can you take over 5 minutes? Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, everyone, for your feedback on the first objective. So now we're moving on to slides 26 to 29, which deal with the second objective of the consultation, and that's the criteria that the board should use to assess the priority of new financial reporting issues to add to the work plan. So this is now very much zeroing in on the very first activity on research and standard setting projects. So the board is proposing to use the seven criteria that are on slide 28. So these are criteria that the board has been using since the last agenda consultation. And I'll now just note that the first four are from the due process handbook. Now, all of those seven criteria are really covered by an overarching consideration of a project meeting the needs of investors while taking into account the cost of producing the information. The final context I'll highlight is that the criteria, as I'm sure you appreciate, are subjective. So what that means is it won't be an exact science when the board actually comes to use them. And so, you know, the criteria is going to really require the board to make judgments. And so what that means is how the board will assess the relative importance of each criterion will really vary depending on the circumstances surrounding the particular project that's suggested. So with that, I'll now turn it over to you for your input on the questions on slide 29. So those questions are, firstly, whether you think that the board has identified the right criteria to use to assess the priority of financial reporting issues, why or why not? And secondly, whether there are any additional criteria that you think the board should consider.
Okay, so any thoughts on the criteria? Kiara?
Yes. So we agree with the with this criteria, but we would welcome to see more prominence to the official criteria, or at least to suggest that these new criteria are considered to be added to the due process handbook. In our draft comment letter, we also consider and suggest a number of secondary additional factors, in particular the use of non-GAAP information, or whether there is evidence of structuring opportunities as possible secondary factors to consider. And also it would be helpful if the board could provide an explanation on how the ISB assesses and reconsiders priorities. That would also be helpful.
Okay. Thank you.
It's Linda next.
Linda.
Thank you. Again, emphasizing that we've done limited outreach. So far, what we've heard from our stakeholders and also our board discussions is that we think that the criteria are appropriate and complete. We didn't have anything more to suggest. However, some of our stakeholders noted, if you look at your diagram, and they acknowledged that the ones in the slide that appear first are in the due process handbook and the others are additional factors. They wanted to understand how would you weight these different factors in different projects? And so the comments you've made around judgment will be needed. I think what you would have to do as you assess things is be transparent in how you're weighting the factors and applying them to individual projects. The other comment we got was, you know, order matters. And when you look at your slide, you see the four on the top, and the one on the right-hand bottom is impact on the stakeholders, the ability of the stakeholders to respond. And that's very important on people's minds right now. So they wondered if there was an implicit weighting in terms of the ordering of the criteria. Those are the main comments that we have so far.
Okay. Thank you, Linda. Nobu?
Yes, thank you, Hans. In addition to our previous comment related to long-term research, our preliminary view is that there should be another criterion, which is the potential to converge with US GAAP. If IFRS standards were to be truly global standards, the ISB should reduce differences between US GAAP to the extent possible. And when all other conditions are the same, projects that have the potential to converge should be given higher priority than projects that have the potential to diverge. Thank you.
Pauline.
Thank you. We broadly agree with the criteria that have been set out. We have been hearing some concerns from stakeholders that they think the criteria might imply a hierarchy of jurisdictions and sectors. I think we need to explore that further because I'm not quite sure exactly what their concerns are, but we'll follow that up and deal with it in our comment letter if those concerns are realised. We also think that it might be worth considering an additional criterion, which is looking at assessing the relevance of the proposed project by the end of the next work cycle. In other words, to try and look to see if the projects of long-term relevance can be given higher priority. However, just a note of caution on that. Clearly, you shouldn't be doing that to the extent that you avoid dealing with the urgent issues such as you've been dealing with recently in relation to COVID. Clearly, there is a need to deal with those as well. But just giving some kind of focus to longer-term priorities might be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Pauline. Chen.
Okay. Thank you, Hans. On this question, generally, we think this criteria are appropriate and reasonable. At the same time, we just have three additional suggestions. First one, since a lot of judgment are involved or are needed when measuring this identified criteria. So some people have some concerns about assessing the relative materiality of each criteria in implementation. Second, we suggest to make a minor change to the first criteria. The first criteria on page 28 is the importance of the matter to investors. We suggest to change the investors to stakeholders, make it broader in order to avoid overemphasizing the information needs of investors while ignoring other financial information users. That's the second one. The third one, some people suggest to include cost benefit as a additional criteria. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Yichen. Patrick.
Thank you, Hans. No, it's not a big deal, but you know, we need to address the question of adding three criteria when we, in fact, we reviewed the due process handbook last year. So, you know, technically speaking, I mean, there are good suggestions. We might also consider points like the influence of, you know, circumstances like the pandemic or the development of the linkage with the sustainability reporting. But in you know, where we need to get our act together is to make sure that what are the three additional criteria, or do or shouldn't we introduce in the due process handbook in due course an element of flexibility in line with the developments that are observed at a moment in time, in order to follow, you know, the real time evolution of corporate reporting. I struggle a little bit with that. Should we give precedence to the criteria which are listed in the due process handbook? And how do we introduce the additional considerations that we can make from a due process standpoint? I have a question here.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. Yi?
Thank you. And overall, all ELSS members agree with the criteria identified by ISB, and there are some suggestions to ISB. Some suggestions are about the wording. One is to change the first criterion to the importance of the matter to the stakeholders instead of only emphasizing the importance of the matter to investors. And another one is that the wording of deficiency using the second one may inappropriately imply wrongdoing, and maybe significant divergency is better. And some ELSS members also suggest ISB providing more transparent and clear information about how it applies the criteria, considering to separate those essential ones from those nice to have, and explaining the criteria those are not stated in the due process handbook. In terms of any additional criteria, the age of the standards and the cost benefit consideration and economic and regulatory are suggested to be added. And thank you.
Okay, thank you, Yi. Aishat, I think you can continue your presentation.
Yes, and we're actually now moving on to the last part of the consultation, which is on the financial reporting issues that could be added to the board's work plan. And so the content for these are covered in slide 30 to 38 of the agenda paper. I'm just going to mention a couple of things before I turn it over to you for your input. The first we've talked about before broadly on capacity, but there are also consequences for capacity in this part too, in that because of the pre-existing and expected commitments that we've laid out on slide 32, we expect to have limited capacity to add on new projects. So you would have seen that we've estimated that we have capacity to take on 2 to 3 large projects or 45 medium-sized projects or 78 small projects. And I should also clarify that those estimates that I've just mentioned are really based on continuing with the current level of focus of 40 to 45% on research and standard setting projects. So if, for example, feedback is suggesting that we need to reduce the overall level of focus in that activity, then those estimates would actually need to be revised downward, meaning even less projects to take on. So just something to bear in mind there. On slide 34, we've listed some potential projects that we've described in the request for information. So this particular list was developed during outreach before the request for information was published, including with yourselves back in December 2019. So with that, you would recall that the purpose of this list is really to provide a common understanding of the issues that we could address in a project. So along those same lines, when stakeholders provide feedback on the potential projects that they think the board should take on, it's most helpful to be specific on the particular issues that you think need to be addressed and whether you would prioritize, for example, all of the issues within the project or just some aspects. Also, just to emphasize that, you know, the list of projects that we've described is certainly not a draft work plan. I think in the first instance, it's impossible for the board to really take on 22 described projects. But perhaps more importantly, we're keen to hear from stakeholders on other projects that we may not have described, but that, you know, they think are a priority for the board. So with that background, again, I'd like to now hand over to you to discuss the questions on slide 38. And, you know, the questions are really, what priority, if any, would you give the potential projects that are on slide 34? Should the board add any other financial reporting issues that perhaps we've not described? And then finally, a catch-all question really here for any other comments that are relevant to the agenda consultation.
Okay, the floor is open. Linda.
Thank you. When our stakeholders have looked at the suggested projects, we didn't have a rousing identification of others. Generally speaking, they thought that the most important areas had been highlighted. They understand it's not a work plan, but they recognize the projects, but they did emphasize some things that they thought were higher priority. And so these would be things that we take into consideration as we continue to do our outreach. Everybody we talked to highlighted the notion of some work to be done on going concern. This got highlighted in our jurisdiction in particular because many of our listed entities are medium and smaller entities and had never had to deal with the notion of going concern or doing a going concern assessment, which is why very early on in the pandemic, our staff put together a resource page on going concern where they pointed people to the guidance in IFRS that did exist. Just to point it out, we didn't do any interpretations, but we pointed out the guidance. But we think that, that there needs to be some work done in terms of assisting people on how to carry out an assessment. And then what happens if you do conclude that you are no longer a going concern. Under USGAAP, you're given the guidance of using a liquidation basis, but we spent a lot of time talking to stakeholders about what would be most effective in their circumstances. And that came out loud and clear during the pandemic and during the early days of the pandemic in particular. So the other ones that were highlighted will not be a surprise to you. Many are interested in seeing some guidance developed on cryptocurrency and also other intangible assets. And in particular, when they talked about IAS 38, they talked about the notion of not only not permitting the recognition or measurement of certain intangible assets, but also not even requiring disclosure about certain types of intangible assets. And as our businesses go more in the way of being comprised of more intangibles, it's clear that the balance sheets today don't reflect a large portion of the value of those businesses. So in particular, those were areas that kept coming up in our various conversations.
Thank you, Linda. Jim.
Thank you, Hans. One, just as quick background, we issued last week an agenda consultation to think about our next 3 to 5 year agenda as well. And to the point that Nobu made earlier, certainly it will be very important to us to think about what projects we take on, to consider the activities that the ISB is considering. And I know Neely has been working closely with folks on our team to share that. I think the point of keeping converged standards converged to the maximum degree possible, and also looking at opportunities to consider your work as we think about what projects to add will be very important to us. And I think the timing of our agenda consultation will allow that sharing of back and forth of information. With that as a background, the projects on slide 34 are very similar to the preliminary input that we've heard. We've really broke it into three areas. One, areas where investors are looking for greater disaggregation. So it's not that they're dissatisfied with the recognition and measurement in the financial statements, but maybe dissatisfied with the level of granularity at which that's reported. We hear that in the statement of cash flows, the reporting of employee benefit expense, where is that in the income statement and sort of total amounts, impact of foreign currency, could there be greater transparency through disaggregation of those impacts? And so I think a number of those are the same theme that we hear. The others are emerging areas of activity. So whether that's digital or crypto assets, in the US, we don't have significant guidance on the accounting for government grants. So that would be one. We often hear, what about adopting the internet, IAS 20? If you were to take on a project on government grants, that would certainly have an impact on what direction we might want to head. We'd want to benefit from anything you learn. But certainly the prevalence in the US of government assistance through the pandemic and otherwise has increased significantly. And in the final area, and I think you have these on your list as well, is just making sure that existing standards either stay current, or if we have complexity that isn't really benefiting users, that is, it's unnecessary. We hear that in our consolidations model. So seeking opportunity and liabilities and equity, a couple other areas. So those are really the three main categories, and I think they align very well with what you're hearing, at least preliminarily.
Chiara?
Yes, thank you, Hans. We have issued our consultation document, including also views on the ISB's priorities in May, and I can share the preliminary thoughts. We have included in our document a short list of six, where we consider there is the highest priority. And I will mention as first the connecting financial and sustainability reporting, starting from climate-related financial implications. So the board has this climate-related project in the list, but we are considering a broader scope. And the idea is really for this project to be the start of a journey that would then cover also the other dimension of the ESG. As for the contents of this project, the role would be really to facilitate the connectivity with sustainability, and so to work around we could define anchor point between the two dimensions. And as for the contents from the climate point of view, we suggest to consider the disclosures on the alignment of the assumptions used for impairment amortization with the Paris agreements. The disclosures about how companies factor climate risks into the best estimate of provisions. The assessment of IFRS standards on provisioning for risk for future risks, including the broader implication of climate transition risk, significant climate-related contingent liabilities, and impact on biodiversity. You can find more in our comment letters about this. Other projects that we consider having the highest priority are the three projects for which also EFRAG is undertaking proactive research, and which are crypto assets, for which our discussion paper has been out for comments for a while. Intangible assets, we are very close to issuing our discussion paper. Hopefully In July, and variable and contingent consideration. On top of these, we have discontinued operations and disposal groups, and the statement of cash flows and related matters. I can tell you that from initial exchanges with the consultative forum of standard setters, other projects were also mentioned, such as expenses, separate financial statements, pollutant pricing mechanism, going concern and income taxes. This is all for now on the topic.
Right. Well, it's quite a list, Chiara. Pauline?
Well, we're also going through the process of whittling down a long list from our stakeholders to a more manageable list. I think I'd focus on three which are coming up as high priority in the UK. The first is also its climate-related risks, and particularly looking at IAS 1 and IAS 36 to ensure that the correct, that appropriate time horizons are being considered to take into account the impact of longer-term climate risk. At the same time, I think it's regarded as a separate project, but the notion of pollutant pricing mechanisms seems to be a matter that needs to be subject to considerable more research so we can understand better what types of mechanisms actually exist and how they're currently reported by entities. I sort of put that all in the climate-related risk category. The second project that's coming up quite regularly in the UK is intangibles. There's a feeling here that the current suite of standards doesn't really address the issues that we're seeing, particularly now everyone's moving to a more knowledge-based economy. And that includes intangible assets held as investments such as cryptocurrencies, but also intangibles that are held for use in production and administration or service by an entity. We think that would be a really major project and therefore pretty time consuming from a point of view of resource. And the third project that's we're getting a lot of focus on, and particularly from our user groups, is the statement of cash flows. And there is a feeling that the statement of cash flows is not adequate to address some of the issues that people deal with these days. And I suppose the obvious areas are things like supply chain financing and reverse factoring, which aren't really properly addressed at the moment. And there's some confusion about how they should be addressed. Again, I think this is probably a major project, not a minor one. So having said that, I won't add any more projects, although like Chiara, we do have a list of others that are coming up in our discussions. But as I said, this is preliminary and we'll have a better view of wider range of stakeholder input when we've gone through the consultation process. Just as a wider issue, one of the things we think there might be some merit in is to take a thematic approach to addressing high priority projects. And we're still exploring this issue in our discussions with stakeholders and with the board. So we'll give more information on how we think this might work when we've actually worked through some of those discussions. But we're hoping that this would enable the ISB to proactively consider the impact of a new project on its existing core standards, so that we could try to ensure that when you get solutions developed to address emerging issues, they actually enable the ISB to ensure that they're principles-based solutions that lead to consistent outcomes, because I think there's been a bit of a tendency to have some inconsistent outcomes as people have looked at individual projects across the piece. But as I say, that's very much work in progress from our point of view at the moment, so we'll come back to that as soon as we've had a chance to think about it a bit more carefully. I'm conscious that all of that puts considerable strain on existing resources, so it might be appropriate to just revisit some of those projects that are currently ongoing, just to see if some of them could be deprioritized. We're not convinced that all the projects that are currently being considered are ones that you would consider now if you were going through the same processes again. So it might be worth just standing back and having a look at that contextually when you have an idea about where those priorities are. Thank you.
Thank you, Pauline. You?
Good. Thank you, Hans. Yeah, thank you. Based on what we hear so far, we suggest that the two projects, that is intangible assets and OCI, should be of high priority. Regarding the intangible assets, we have similar feelings with others that because the knowledge-based economy are playing a greater role in our life. While under IS-38, the definition, recognition, and the measurement of intangible assets should be improved. Regarding the OCI, because of the lack of basic principle and concept about the OCI, people sometimes are very confused about the accounting treatment of the OCI. We suggest this project should be of high priority for example, to review the definition of OCI, to provide a consistent principle of recycling, and so on. Yeah, that's our very, very preliminary views on this question. Thank you.
Patrick?
Thank you, Hans. Maybe before extending the shopping list, if I may say so, I would like to put the emphasis on a number of things that, in our view, are essential to finalize. The first one is, of course, the projects that are underway, like primary financial statements or financial instruments with characteristics of equity. We also contemplate a significant work on the post-implementation reviews. You know, you have a number of significant standards that have been enacted recently, and that's crucial. In that context, there are a number of pending questions, so they are not light post-implementation reviews. They are pretty heavy. In addition, as we mentioned already in this session, we have to leave some flexibility for unexpected topics. And so as a consequence, I would have two suggestions. The first one is probably to have and also given the idea of the stable platform, to have a limited number of new projects. As a number of my colleagues, I would put the emphasis on the relationship with sustainability, with the priority on climate. And the second priority would be on intangible. Not that I think that intangible can be solved. The question that was raised by Linda, the fact that a lot is not reflected, the intangible value creation is not reflected via financial reporting, I would subscribe. Now, I am not sure that that can be solved by financial reporting only in the context of the conceptual framework we have. So we need to be careful with that. However, you know, it's another connectivity issue, because we personally think that intangible is part of sustainability reporting, but that a lot of what is necessary to understand the value creation is lying into financial expenses or investments that have been made or that are being made. So that's the first suggestion, to concentrate on maybe those two priorities. And another suggestion on the way forward, when you are confronted with a restriction of resources, as we are all, why don't we try to organize, as that existed in the past, joint projects, you know, where we would pool one or two standard setter together with the ISB to move forward on a few topics. That, in my view, would be a way forward. When you have scarce resources, why not pool?
Okay, thank you, Patrick. EH?
Yes, thank you, Hans.
Well, in terms of priority of topics, similar to others, we believe intangible assets and cryptocurrencies are the most urgent issues, even though, as Patrick mentioned, intangible asset issue is very difficult issues, and it's very difficult to resolve find out the solution in the near future, but that's very important. In terms of the question of any other additional agenda topic to add, we have one suggestion. We suggest a sort of a second phase study of the accounting estimates. We all know that ISB recently had a revision of IS-8. There were many changes and there were many improvements in terms of the definition of accounting estimates and how to take care of accounting estimates. However, this is very, very well done. However, we believe there are still more to be done. For instance, there are different types of accounting estimates, and we have to articulate what different type of accounting estimates there are and how to handle these accounting estimates. On top of that, disclosure for accounting estimate is very critical because the significance of accounting estimate is very important, is really important in reading the final statement. Again, second phase of study, accounting estimate, we will very much recommend. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, EH. Leonardo.
Thank you, Hans. Yes, first of all, I want to say that we fully agree with the approach described in slide 32 of the presentation. We believe that the ISB should first continue and hopefully finalize the project already on the work plan, like regulated activities, financial instrument with characteristic of equity, business combination and common control. This is important for us because we think that the ISB and also us has already spent time and resources on this project. And so the first thing to do is to complete these projects. We also agree that the second priority should be the post-implementation review of IFRS 9, 15, and 16. And then, after all these projects, moving to slide 34, for us, the most urgent projects are variable and contingent consideration, expenses, and, of course, the several financial statement. Thank you.
Thank you, Leonardo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And there are suggested by the AOSSG members as high priority. The first one is that all AOSSG members agree that a comprehensive review of IAS 38 intangible assets should be assigned as high priority, as the current standards cannot provide some useful information about some new types of transactions. And cryptocurrencies and related transactions and climate-related risks are also suggested to be as a high priority, as there is no current standard that can address the things. And some AOSSG members also suggest that going concern should be assigned as high priority to develop some examples to illustrate how the general rules to be applied. And then a few AOSSG members suggested that the OCI should be assigned as high priority because of the lack of basic principle and the concept. And in addition, pollutant pricing mechanism, separate financial statement, common data transaction, variable and contingent considerations, government grants, borrowing costs are also suggested to be high priority. And we will send the detailed feedback of each member to the ISB staff after the meeting. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Yi. Raymond?
Thank you, Hans. I guess a lot of the comments that I was going to make have been made, and I think the areas that have been highlighted as being areas of concern, areas of importance have really been highlighted. Just two areas that I'd just like to reiterate, which is extractive industries and rate-regulated activities. These are two projects that have been on the go for a long time now, from the ISB's point of view. And I think the view that's shared in this part of the world is that these need to be seen to be brought to finality as soon as possible, where possible, because I think there are a significant number of companies that are affected by the application of these standards or have having to do something else in order to try and get their accounting right in this part of the world. And I think to the extent that we had these two standards in place, that would certainly help with getting some of the consistency right. So those are the two areas that I'd just like to add onto the list of all the things that have been spoken about already this afternoon. Thank you.
Okay, Raymond, thank you. Neely, I'll give you the opportunity to round off, but let me just make a couple of comments. First of all, I am sure that my successor, Andreas Barkov, is listening very carefully to this conversation, and he will be no doubt be overcome by a sense of relief in the sense that there's still a lot of work for him to be done with in his terms. Nobody is telling us, well, you have completed all these important standards, now just give us a stable platform and that's it. Everybody has a lot of projects on their list. A couple of common themes, the connectivity with sustainability standards, digital, intangibles, climate-related risks, and some of these projects would be quite meaty. And the thought that really came to my mind is, can we do that with the existing stuff? Shouldn't we be thinking about even expanding our stuff? Something that Andreas and his board really would have to think about. Neely, let me give the floor to you.
Thank you, Hans, and thank you, everybody, for the feedback. It's quite a bit of very helpful information for us to think about and consistent with much of what we've been hearing in outreach so far. So that's reassuring. The other thing that's reassuring is what Hans just pointed out, that even though there's quite a long list of things that we could do in the future, I'm hearing some common themes emerging from all of the discussions. So I think that helps us focus our deliberations in our research when we go back to the board. Just a couple things that I was thinking about as I was listening to your feedback, as we as staff think about what to put in the staff papers to facilitate board deliberation. The first is that I heard a few people observe that maybe some of the existing projects on the work plan might be worth revisiting. And I know it's still early in the outreach for many of you, but to the extent that you could provide us with a little bit more specificity on which projects in particular and maybe how you think about the criteria that Aisha had presented earlier in relation to those projects and why perhaps they should come off, that would be very useful. The other thought was that in the agenda paper, slides 35 and 36 identify some specific points that would be helpful for us to give the board further information to provide evidence for what potential priority projects might be. And so things like why an issue affects how an issue affects the primary users of financial statements, or whether practice has found ways around the lack of requirements today would be very helpful for us. I'm thinking in particular about projects such as something on going concern when a company determines it's no longer going concern. What happens today in practice? And is that adequate for investors, as well as separate financial statements? And what exactly do the primary users of separate financial statements need, and how that would define what requirements we might need to develop. And then the last point is the point about a stable platform. I've heard that a number of times in outreach, and I think what would be helpful there is to just understand a little bit more what is meant by that point. Because if we think about what the board is currently working on, realistically, those projects won't finish and won't be effective for preparers until well into the future. And then any new projects that we start certainly wouldn't be finished by 2026 and therefore wouldn't be effective until the next agenda cycle. So just trying to better understand what stable platform means and how far into the future are we talking about when we say stable platform? Thank you.
Okay, Nili, thank you very much. That brings us to the end of this discussion. I suggest we take, as planned, a 15-minute break, and then we'll end up with an update on sustainability report. Thank you.